If not, open your Bibles to John chapter 3. Keep them handy. Matthew chapter 8. What is, when you think of hell, what description, biblical description of hell do you think about? Outer darkness. That's actually the one that I wanted to deal with right there, outer darkness. I'm just going to stop right there. What does it mean that hell is outer darkness? What? Look, if you would, in Matthew 8, in verse number 12. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Outer darkness is going into totally dark. How many have ever been to a place that was just dark and you couldn't see anything? Sometimes you, if you've ever been to Mammoth Cave, they'll take you down in the middle of the cave and they'll turn the lights out. It'll be really dark because there's not much light that comes in that spot where they do that. Used to when I dive. And used to dive in this lake. The lake was so dirty and murky. We get down so deep. And when we shut our lights off, even when we had lights on, you couldn't see sometimes nothing. But when you shut your lights off, and we had to do night dives sometimes, and you get down, you shut your lights off, and you couldn't see anything. As a matter of fact, you couldn't even remember which way's up. It'd get you confused. Outer darkness. A place where there is no visible light, where no light shows. It's also called the second death, because darkness and death comes alike. Look, if you would, in John chapter 3, a very familiar portion of Scripture. And I'm going to skip on down to verse number 17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Amen. Now, these next three verses is where I want to deal with. I want to deal with three types of light, and light brings truth. Three types of light that we have available to us. The Bible says, and this is condemnation, that light is coming to the world. And men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Now turn with me a couple places, and I want to read a couple other places. Turn with me to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. The apostles was really concerned with some things that was going on in the church during their time, because there was a lot of false teachers and false prophets that come in. But notice, if you would, in chapter 2 Peter chapter 1, notice, if you would, in verse number 19. First of all, Peter's talking about, in verse 17 and 18, that he was with Jesus, and he heard the voice of God speak from heaven, say, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. And he said, the voice came down from heaven that we heard. In verse 19, he said, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth into a dark place. Now get that. Until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now I've heard some people take verse number 20 and say, well, nobody can have their own interpretation of the Bible. That's not what he's saying. He said these men that God used to write the Bible didn't write on their own ability, their own thoughts, their own wisdom. They were moved by God to put down exactly what God wanted in the Bible. It was not their choice on what they wrote on. It was God's choice. It was not a private interpretation from them. Look on in chapter 2. He says, but, again, continuing the same thought, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. Now get that, false teachers among you, who privately bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingers not, and their damnation slumbereth. Now, let me say, he said that there's going to be false teachers. There's a great danger. Now listen to me, and you young people listen to me. You all will be swept away. You get in education, you go to higher education, if you're not careful, you'll be swept away by all this damnable doctrines that they teach. You need to know in what you believe. And you need to understand there's a lot of false teachings out there. There's a lot of teachings where, and by the way, a teacher is someone that should be able to give facts about truth. But that's not what we get. There's ignorant teachers, and I call ignorant teachers those who give facts from things that they've read or things that they've heard from other people that were ignorant teachers. In other words, they believe it because they read it somewhere and they were taught that way, so therefore they're ignorantly believing something that's not true. And so they just keep teaching the same thing. A good example is evolution. We'll get into that in just a second. But then there's apostate teachers. Apostate teachers are those who know the truth. They intentionally, willfully teach against the truth. They know that they're teaching something that's not right. Then, of course, there's this idea in the day in which we live that truth is relative. Now, why is that important? They believe that truth is that it is reasonable as long as they can compare it to the way they feel, compare it to the way they think, or compare it to the way they see things. In other words, it's relative. It changes with time. But real truth is absolute. It never changes. Real truth is definite. What it was 100 years ago, it still is today. There was a time when some thought the world was flat. Well, the world was round. Real truth, it was always round, even when they were teaching that it was flat, and many other things. You have some that teaches the galaxy is X light years wide. Then you have others that teach us 60, 70 times that. Well, both of them can't be absolute truth. They're relative truth. They're truth according to the way they see it and the way they've been taught. Now, but there is absolute truth. Now, I said that to say this. Why is truth important? Now listen. Without truth, you can't have salvation. Salvation, and without truth, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Not only that, but without truth, you can't have sound doctrine. You don't know what to believe without truth. Without truth, you don't have Christian growth. You grow because of truth that you're being taught. Without truth, every day we get up in school. Young people, what do we say when we pledge to the Bible? Pledge allegiance to the Bible, God's holy word. I will make it what? A lamb to my feet, a light unto my path. Why? Because without truth, you have no daily guidance. You don't know what teaches you how to behave, what to do, and where, how to walk without the word of truth. And last but not least, also in Romans chapter 16, Paul says that we are to mark certain false teachers. And without truth, you can't expose false teachers. If we didn't have truth, then what we'd do is somebody say, well, I believe this, I believe that. He teaches this, teaches this. But now, Paul says that we can take this truth and we expose those who are teaching false truth. Somebody said, well, you shouldn't say nothing against somebody else. You should if they're teaching false truth and damnable doctrines. Right. Now, let me share this with you, and I want you to think about this. Turn with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 1. I want to give you thought in this. I want to give you these three lights in fairly hurry, but I do want to prove my point and let you see it. And Romans chapter 1, most of you are familiar with, but I want to read a few verses. Verse number 17. Now listen very carefully. It says in verse 17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in what? Now, let me say this. You are either one of two places. You're either holding the truth in righteousness or you're holding it in unrighteousness. One of the two. It says, because in verse number 19, that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God hath what? Showed it where? Unto them. For the invisible things, knows that word invisible, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without what? Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were what? Darkened. Now, you notice how many words we've used already? Now, the Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 2 where life came from. Life came when God reached down, formed man out of the dust of the earth, breathing man the breath of life, and he became what? Now, let me say something. The Bible says that God doesn't give light. God is light. God doesn't give life. He is life. Now, he breathed into man the breath of life. Now, let me say this, and I want you to listen to me very carefully. Evolution has been taught to be a farce time and time and time and time again. People does it just like climate change and all this other stuff. They run with it and they say, well, everybody believes it when everybody don't believe it. All the scientists believe this, and that's not true. Because what scientists found is this. A non-animated source, something that's not has life, cannot produce life. Life just doesn't bubble up out of nothing. It takes life to produce life. And so therefore, you've got to believe one of two things. Either some non-living, non-breathing, a non-animal type structure that has no life, all of a sudden made life. It never has happened. It's impossible. But God, who was life, breathed in man life.
Amen.
And man breathed in him light, and God gave him light. Now, look if you would in John chapter 1. In John chapter 1, I hope to get this out plain without going too far. In John chapter 1, notice if you would in verse 4. In him was life, and the life was what?
Light.
The light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John, the same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. There are three sources of light that brings truth. One is inerrant light, inerrant truth. What do we mean by that? We mean one that came from God, that he gave us when we were created. There's three types of light that the Bible speaks of. One is the light of God. We read about it. Another is heavenly light. That's the stars and sun and all those things that God made. The third that the Bible talks about is man-made light, that we make certain things that make light. Now, in doing this, we have to understand that we either believe in what evolution is what they call spontaneous generation, where you have something generating life that has never had life, or you believe in supernatural creation, that God gave life unto us because he is life. Now, in understanding this, and you go back in Genesis chapter 1, and you understand, turn there just a moment, the first time that we find life, light in the Bible, is in Genesis chapter 1, and notice, and it's talking about the eternal presence of God. In Genesis chapter 1, in verse 1, it says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be what?
Light.
And there was what?
Light.
Light. Now turn, if you would, in Revelation chapter 22. That was the first mention of a light. Now let's see the last mention of a light in Revelation chapter 22. And that was talking about the eternal presence of God. And then in chapter 22, notice if you would in verse number 5. The Bible says, speaking of heaven, and there should be no what there?
Night.
And they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them what? And they shall reign forever and ever. You got to understand, our light came from God. Look if you would in 1 John. 1 John chapter number 1. 1 John chapter number 1. I'm going to try to tie all this together if you'll bear with me just a moment. In 1 John chapter number 1, look if you would in verse number 5. John says, this then is a message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is what? And in him is no what?
Darkness
at all. Now turn in your Bible just a moment if you would, one more time. To Romans chapter number 2. In Romans chapter number 2, what do we mean by inerrant life that brings truth? Romans chapter number 2, look if you would in verse number 12. For as many as have sinned without the law shall also perish without the law, and as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not The hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written where? In their hearts, their conscience, also bearing witness, and their what? Thoughts. The mean while accusing or else excusing one another. Now, what we need to understand is this. God has made man responsible. Now get this a minute, because this is where most people miss his mark. Everybody, all the heathen of the world, and everybody brought into the world, through your life that you was given, you had a source of light. You hear me? Nobody was born an atheist. You become an atheist by rejecting the light that you was born with. You begin to reject the light that God has put in you. He gives us, and when he created us with a certain amount of light. The light was to point us to truth. He put a conscience in us. He wrote certain things in us. In our thoughts, he makes us think. And so therefore, those are things to bring us to God. Now, when we begin to start rejecting those things and not wanting because our deeds are evil, like in John chapter 3, we turn away from the light and we turn to darkness. But it's our choice. It's not by the fact that we were born that way. It's like a lot of these who's claiming and all this sexual... I can't think of the word I want to use right now, but degeneracy that they're doing right now, and born this way. You wasn't born that way. You made yourself that way by the environment that you're around. And same way, whenever you're born, God created us and he made us. He gave us life. And when we got life, we got light. You understand? Because light comes with life. Then as we develop, I know we were lost. I'm not trying to preach that. I know we had a sinful flesh. We were born with sinful flesh. I have no argument with that. But as we grow, we become accountable. Because as we grow, then God begins with the light inside. As a matter of fact, each of us at some given time, the thing that God put inside of us, if we were saved, it came to fruition. Because we came to a point where we either accepted light or we rejected light. Sometimes we call that the age of accountability. Sometimes we call it other things, but we reach a point where we're accountable at that point for our souls. And we have to either accept the light or reject the light, but God has put some light in us to point us there. Okay? Now, stay with me a minute. So when we talk about inerrant light, that's what we're talking about. The fact that we were made of God and we become living souls and we were made in his likeness and after his image, we were given inerrant light because he is life and he is light. And when we receive his life, we received a certain amount of light. And he intended on that light bringing us to the full knowledge of God. And when it's all said and done. Now, Jesus came to present the true light, to bring men to the true light. Now, the second type of light we have that brings truth is visible light. And I won't get into all the scriptures. I've got several scriptures I could point you to. But it talks about the fact that invisible things. We read one scripture there in Romans talking about the invisible things that God has done. Where when we look at the stars and the handiwork, we don't see God, but we see God because we see the invisible God. We see him in his handiwork. We see him in visible light. In other words, I mean, how can you not look up and see the vast universe and say, wow, what a God. What a creator. And so I could take you to a lot of places, but Moses, remember, he had to he turned away from Pharaoh and the things that he saw and temptation to the invisible God. And you'll find several times in the Bible it talks about the invisible God. In other words, even though he's invisible, he's visible through things that he has put before us. That's why in Psalms, I believe it's Psalms chapter 19, he says, the heavens are the handiwork of God. And we see them. So therefore, look if you would in Hebrews chapter number 11. In Hebrews chapter number 11, I'm not going to turn you much more, but I just want you to see a couple more things. Look if you would in verse number 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. In other words, there are some things we don't see, but we know some things that we do see that God is real. Somebody said, well, I reject that. Then you've got to believe in something else if you reject God. But to do so, you have to reject the light that you've been given, the inherent light and the visible light. There are certain things that we see. And by the way, to be saved, you have to have all three of these lights and truths. The last one is this. It's biblical light. Look with me to a couple scriptures real quickly. Look if you would in Psalms chapter 119. I've got three scriptures I want to turn to. I'm going to close. Psalms 119. And I'll try to tie this message together if I've lost you along the way. In Psalms 119, look if you would in verse 130. The Bible says, the entrance of thy words, what? It giveth understanding simple. The word of God gives light. Look, if you would, over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Look, if you would, in verse number 3. He says, but if our gospel be hid, is hid to them that are what? In whom the God of this world, who's that? The devil, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Lest the what? Light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the Lord ourselves, your servants, for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. One more place, and then I'm going to tie it all together. 2 Peter chapter 1. Once more, we've been here once, but we won't go back. 2 Peter chapter 1. Look, if you would, once again in verse number 19. It says, we have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well, that you take heed as a light that shineth into a dark place. That's the word of God. Until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but a holy man of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now, let me try to put this together real quickly. You have inherent light that brings truth. You have visible light that brings truth. and you have biblical light that brings truth. A person who's saved has gotten to the place in their life where all three of these lights has shined truth, and they believe the truth. They have believed the inerrant truth that God has put in each of you. There's something inside of you that tells you there's a God. You may not realize it and you may not understand, but there's something inside of you that realizes that there's a God. That's inerrant. And you've allowed that. And the devil, what he's trying to do, now stay with me and I'll get my point. Why is it so dangerous? We have false teachers. They're trying to take inerrant truth from you. They're trying to take visible truth from you. And they're trying to hide you from biblical truth. All three of those is what brings salvation to you. And what you do is through all those things, all the light that God's give us, it brings us to the point, and when we are presented with the gospel of Jesus Christ, we believe in the true light and truth that God has sent. The devil, his job and his mission is to keep everybody possible from ever believing in that light. And so what he does is this. He sends false teachers to deceive. What do they want to do? They teach that God didn't create the world. God is not the source of your life. They try to take away any inherent truth that you sense. Then they go on and they try to explain how the universe came. And man, are they mountains apart trying to find some explanation for where the stars and the planets and all those things. And they make statements as facts, and next thing you know, boom, something happens that blows their theory up. Same thing. Then what they've done is they've tried to demolish the Word of God. They tried to make the Word of God an ugly thing. They tried to make young people believe that the Word of God is something to be shunned. That the absolute truth is too harsh. And therefore they believe some relative truth. If it feels good, believe it. If it don't feel good, don't believe it. And they've done that, and you know who the mastermind is behind all this? The God of the world. I'm going to tell you something. Now listen to me. Remember when Jesus said there'd be a few go to heaven? Many that wouldn't be? That's because very few will find the true light, because they were not deceived and blinded by the God of this world in seeing the lights and truths that God has given you to believe in. Looking up and saying, there's a God. Looking inside and saying, there's something, there's a God. And then getting in the Bible and saying, this is truth. There is a God. And therefore I'm going to believe. And I'm going to come to that light. Now listen. And then those of us who have, when we get to heaven, no sun, no source of light, no candles. God is light. He lights the whole world. And we live within the light that he's given us. And everything is light, beautiful, wonderful, glorious. And those that die and go to hell, outer darkness. No more light. No more inerrant light. no more visible light, no more biblical light. Absolutely no hope. Outer darkness. Not one glimpse of light ever shines. Visible, inerrant, biblical. Because now you're weeping, gnashing of teeth, being in outer darkness forever. All thank God for the light. Amen. Let's stand tonight. Maybe you're here and God's dealing your heart to come. You need to come. Would you come tonight? How about it?